Acts chapter number 27. I love the book of Acts. A lot of action going on there, amen? God revealed His power through power of the Holy Spirit working through people and the power of the gospel. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God to salvation, the preaching of the gospel, amen? What a blessing. I'm glad that there's power in the gospel. Be in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We'll begin in verse number 10. Acts chapter 27. And verse number 10. All right. The Bible says, And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. You ever felt like that before? Yeah. Nobody listened to you, what you was trying to tell them, even though you had something from the Lord and you knew the truth? That's what Paul felt like here. He felt like that they didn't listen to him, even though he spoke and God heard. Paul heard from God. Verse number 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might obtain to Phoenicia and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Here they are, not listening to the voice of Paul, but trying to make it by their own experience and by their knowledge in this voyage. But look what happens in verse number 14. Your plan doesn't always work the way you think it works, does it? There's always sometimes an interruption to your plan. Verse number 14 says, But not long after, there arose a great tempestuous wind called a Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up unto the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand. They strike sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, throwing stuff overboard now. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, could you imagine that? Many days, never didn't see the sun nor stars. I think they was right in the middle of this storm. It was a dark time. It says, And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. That's hard to grasp that. Here they are. They're on this voyage. And over 100 men in this boat, in this storm. Ain't seen the sun for 3 days. And Paul stands up. And I just picture Paul holding on to a pole or some ropes. Maybe he's got himself tied up with ropes. And when the ship's tossing to and fro and the winds are blowing, he's blowing too, or either he's got himself tied to a pole. But he somehow makes it up onto a top like a balcony area and stands before them in the midst of all this stuff and says, You should have listened to me. And he said, But now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I'm glad this morning that God will give you the word of confidence in the midst of the storms of life. I'm glad that we live off of what God says. You can trust in the hand of God and the word of God. God's word will see you through anything in your life. Do you believe that this morning? Verse number 24. This is what he said, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." You're going to be brought before Caesar. You're going to stand trial. And all everybody with you is going to go and be brought with thee. And it says, "Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it should be even as it was told me." Now, if you haven't got them three words or four words right there in verse 25, underline, I'd advise you to underline them. Paul said, "For I believe God." For I believe God. "That it should be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down Arabia, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and founded 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and founded it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." Now let's pray, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would take our hearts and minds and bring them into captivity in your control this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to overpower our physical weaknesses and our sickness in our body. Lord, help us to concentrate on the precious word of God this morning. I pray this in the name of that is above every name, the name of Jesus, that you would have preeminence in our services this morning, that you'd bind the strong man and let your scriptures bring forth power and reveal to us what you would have us to learn today. I pray, God, that you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that I wouldn't say or do anything that would bring shame to your name or hurt your people in any way, shape, or form. But I pray for power this morning and strength, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, that I can be used for your glory, for your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now here you have in verse 25, in the midst of all this, Paul is saying, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." For I believe God. I mean, all hope was lost. They tried everything they was taught to do. They tried everything that they was trained to do. They feared for their lives. 14 days in the middle of this hurricane called a Rocklodon. Waves were higher and flooding the boat. They feared their lives. I mean, they throwed out their own food and necessities and tackling. They threw it all out to lighten up the ship. I mean, they did everything that they knew to do. They even let it drive. They pulled up the anchors, let down the sail, and just let God have it. That's what they did. That's a good thing to do in your life. Amen. Quit fighting against the wind. Quit fighting against the storm. Just God put you in the storm. He's not going to forsake you in the storms, will he? He'll be with you in the storm. God never put you in a storm that he ain't with you in. God never put you through a fire that he's not with you in. Friend, the three Hebrew children was in a fire. And yes, it was hot. And yes, it was a testing time. Hey, but the fourth man was in the fire. Somebody help me now. I'm glad that God never puts me in the lion's den like he did Daniel, but that he doesn't reveal himself where the angel came down in the midst of the lion's den and stopped the mouth of lions. Somebody help me now. I'm glad that I've never been on a ship, maybe in the midst of the sea, fearing for my life like the disciples were, and Jesus comes and doesn't leave them alone, but he comes walking on the water, and he says, Peter says, "Lord, if it be thee, bid me walk on the water." And Jesus walked on the water, and Peter walked on the water. And when Jesus came to the boat, thank God that he said, "Peace be still," and the storm and the wind ceased. cease. And the disciples made this comment, said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and seas obey him?" I'm glad to serve a God. Hey, I'm glad I'm on his side. Hallelujah to God. Here you have Paul in this shipwreck, in this midst of this storm, a Rakeldon, and he makes a declaration for everybody there. I don't know if he was, I don't know, he may have been the only Christian there. You'll find in verse number 1 that there was a man named Julius, and he was with him. He was in the band of soldiers, and he allowed Paul. I think he may have believed in Paul and believed in Paul's God. But anyway, it seemed like everybody else was in this ship, didn't believe in God and didn't serve God. But they seemed like Paul was all alone and all by himself. You ever felt like that before? You ever felt like they didn't pay attention to him, did he? Verse 20, 10 through 12, they didn't listen to what Paul's saying. Paul had a word from God. Paul's life was in God's hand. And as long as Paul was in God's hand and his life was in God's hands, then everybody around him would be in God's hands. Amen. Because Paul was in the ship wouldn't go down. And that was a promise that God showed Paul. And in the midst of the storms, Paul was in the midst of the storms. Anybody ever been in the midst, right in the middle of a something bigger than you, something stronger than you? I mean, the storms of life. Hey, Paul was right in the middle, alone, so he thought, without any other person with him. In the midnight before this happened, you find Paul and Silas was in prison at midnight. But he still had Silas, but Silas wasn't here. Paul was alone. He didn't have a companion. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have an encourager. He didn't have somebody to tell him to keep on going. But he had a God. But he had a God in him. And when it seemed all hope was gone, in verse number 20 you'll see, it seemed all hope was gone, they threw out the tackling. The tempest lay on us. And they said it seemed that all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Paul stood and said, "Sirs, I've got to tell you something. I heard from heaven and it'll be all right now." He said, verse 23, you'll find that Paul stood by what God said. Paul stood by what God said. He stood up in the midst of all them and he said, "I know what God said, and everything's going to be all right." You'll find in verse 22, not only did Paul stand with what God told them, but Paul's life was in God's hands. God assured him in these three passages of Scripture that his life was in the hand of God and that everything would be okay. Now that applies to you if you're a child of God. Amen? You ought to be saying amen right there. I'm in God's hand and he's in control. I'm in God's hand and he's in control. Say that with me this morning. I'm in God's hand and he's in control. One more time. I'm in God's hand and he's in control. Amen. He's in control. You may be in control right now, but ultimately he's in control. And he'll make you let go. He'll make you let go. He'll make you want to let go so that you can place him in control. Somebody help me now. All right, you'll find in verse 27 that they were nearing some country. It says that the shipmen deemed that they are nearing some country. And I believe that you and I can apply this to our life right now. That we are nearing some country. Amen? I mean, think about it, church. I mean, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen? I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Everybody okay? Hey, I'm not part of this world. My roots don't grow here no more. I didn't cut them off. Hey, they didn't mean cut off when I got redeemed. Hey, but I've made a contact with the glory world in another country. I'm not of this country. This world is not my home. And I believe, my friend, that today, in this time, right now, we are nearing some country. And it's not just a country that we don't know about. It's a country that we lived about. It's a country that we read about. It's a country that we wish for. It's a country that we sing about. It's a country that we look forward to. It's a country that we pray about. It's a country that we believe about. We're nearing that shore. I believe that the watchman is standing, if you would, let me say, on the balcony, the crow's nest of the church. The watchmen, the preachers on the crow's nest of the churches are hollering out, "Friends, we're nearing the shore. Ship, hey, land ho, amen. Hey, I'm starting to see a glimmer of a better world. Look around you, the tempest is high. Hey, the wars and strifes on every land. People fighting against themselves. Hey, the enemy's trying to get on the board with us, friend. Hey, but be of good cheer. I've heard from heaven. I've heard from God. Hey, we're nearing the shore. I see the lights of home, and we're almost there. That's what I believe this morning. And I believe in verse number 29 that they let out four anchors out of the stern and they wished for the day. And I want to encourage you to go ahead and let your anchors out. Amen. Hey, and God's take, wish for the day. Wish for the day that the Lord come. Amen. Hey, let out some anchors and let God control this thing. He's going to control it. Let God guide it without you worrying. He'll take care of you. But you'll find in verse number 25 that he says, sirs, I believe God. How many of you in here would raise your hand and say, I believe God? I believe God. It doesn't matter what humanity says. It doesn't matter what education says. It doesn't matter what the socialists say. It doesn't matter what the scientists say. It doesn't matter what the evolutionists say. It doesn't matter what the secular world says. It don't matter what society thinks. I believe God. I believe God. It don't matter what my coworker at work says about God. It don't matter what my mom and dad think about God. It doesn't matter what so-and-so says when they blaspheme God or they tell me I'm a holy roller, a Bible thumper. I don't care what they say. Hey, the tempest may fly. Hey, the winds may blow. It may get a little rough, friend. Hey, but I stand here this morning and say, I believe God. I think it's time for the Christians, hey, to come back and get back to a simple faith, believing in God. I mean, believe in God. Believe in His Word. Believe in God's abilities. Hey, friend, I'm talking about believing in God. Do you believe in God this morning? On a Monday, do you believe in God? Hey, when Fridays come and you've gone through hell and you've gone through turmoil and you've gone through trouble, hey, can you stand on the banks of your holy, yourself or your God, your home or house? Or your personal ship, can you stand and make a proclamation? Say, I've heard from heaven. I've heard that angel Knight spoke to me. I've read the Bible. I've got a still small voice spoke to me. And sir, I believe God. Friend, I believe God. I believe it's time for the church at whole, hey, to make an announcement to the world. Listen, church, to make an announcement to the world. And say, we believe God. You can believe what you want, but we believe God. You can believe what you wish. Hey, but we believe God. We still believe, hey, in a six-day creator. We still believe that the world was created in 6 days. We still believe in God as the creator. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. The church believes. You do believe that this morning. Help me now. Say, I believe it. I still believe God made man in His image. I still believe God breathed in man and man became a living soul. I believe that this earth is no older than approximately 6,000, a little bit plus years. It ain't millions of years old. 6,000 years old, this earth that you're living on. 6,000, any evolutionists in here? Yeah. Huh? Anybody believe in evolution? No. All right, just checking. It got kind of quiet for some reason. I'm just picking. But I believe that the Bible says that this earth is about 6,000 years old. I believe in Noah's flood, approximately 4,000 years ago. And I believe in about 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and was born of a Virgin Mary and died on the cross of Calvary. I still believe in the virgin birth of Christ. I don't know what you believe, and I don't know what the world believe. Hey, but I believe what God's Word says, because I've heard from God, and I believe that we ought to make an announcement and say, I believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign, Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Somebody help me now. I believe that Jesus, God, was God's only begotten Son.
Somebody help me now. I believe God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to know what I'm going to say to you this morning is not what Brother Andy just believes on my own opinion or my own thoughts. Hey, but what I've learned from the Bible, and I declare unto you what the Bible says, and it really doesn't matter what I think or what I believe, but it matters what God's word says. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather die believing in God and believing in God's word than anything else in my life. Because it stands the test of time and it's proven true. I believe that Jesus was God's only begotten Son. I still believe in the deity of Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, I love that. And without no argument of who God is. You can't argue with God. Are you going to stand toe-to-toe with God and argue with him? Would you stand toe-to-toe with Jesus and argue with him? You may say no, but the scribes and Pharisees did in his day. You may have been one of them. Hey, but Jesus said, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Amen. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord, the deity of Christ. I believe in the deity. I believe Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. He proclaimed it with his own mouth in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you're going to go to the Father, you've got to go through me. And that's what he said. I believe that. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only way to forgiveness. Amen. In Hebrews 9:22, the Bible says, and almost all things were purged by the law, with the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And thank God Jesus shed his precious blood, his powerful blood, his fountain of blood, his strength in his blood, his healing in his blood, and his forgiveness in his blood today. Hey, that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ stretched out, hallelujah, his hand on the cross of Calvary. And friend, even today, from that day to now, there's been a bloodline of redemption that has flowed to the human race for every sin that has ever been committed by mankind. I still believe in the blood. I believe in the blood. I still believe in the blood the only way. I believe in the cross. Oh, it's by the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by sight. By faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. I still believe in the cross. I still believe in heaven. I don't know what you believe, but I believe in heaven because I read it in the book. It doesn't matter whether you prove it's there or not. I read it in the book. It's in the book. Amen. It's in the book. You better believe it. You ain't got to figure it out. You ain't got to understand it. Hey, but God's proven it by his word, and he's a man of his word. And thank God you'll be judged one day in heaven by his word. And friend, I want to live and believe what I live and what I put my faith in. And I'm going to live out my faith by the word of God. Hey, which liveth and abideth forever. Friend, I'm not going to live out my thoughts or my ideology or my own opinions. But I think it's important, hey, that we ought to stand on the word of God and say, I'm going to live out by faith by the principle of the word of God. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. The Bible says in Luke 16:22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cries, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may tip the tip of his finger in water, that he may cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I still believe in a hell. Yes, I'm a hell fire and brimstone preacher. If you want to call me that, hey, that'll be all right. Hey, friend, but when you call me that, you're going to call the Bible that, and you're going to call the Word of God that, hey, because that's where it came from. I didn't make it up, friend. Hey, the preacher didn't make heaven up. Hey, the Christian faith didn't make hell up. Friend, it's in the book. It's in the book. It's in the Word. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather die believing in God. Amen. I believe in the truth. The way, the truth, and the life of Jesus, and the truth that he describes and demonstrates is written in the written book. Amen. The basic instructions before leaving this earth, that's what the Bible represents, someone said. I don't know about you, but I believe that the truth is in the Word of God, not in theology, and not in denomination, not in religion, but truth is in the book. Amen. Truth is in the Bible. And I want to be like Paul in the midst of controversy and when everybody else is turned away from us. Hey, when it seems all hope is gone, when it seems, hey, that all everything that we live for seems like it may be lost. Friend, I got to tell you, the Bible says, hey, to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hey, friend, I got to tell you this morning, hey, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It don't matter how rough it gets. It don't matter how hard it gets, friend. Hey, you're going to live and you'll die by the word of God. And I tell you, friend, hey, Jesus is coming soon. Hey, there's no doubt, friend. God will deliver his children out of bondage. Amen. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. I believe that on the third day, on the third, first appointed day, appointed, somebody help me, hey, appointed, planned, that third day, that Jesus, hey, friend, Jesus loosed the chains of sin and it set the captives free. And the Bible says, hey, that he rose again that third day when led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Hey, Mary saw it, but she didn't have to. Hey, the disciples witnessed, but they didn't have to. You say, why, preacher? Hey, because it's written in the precious word of God. And I don't know about you, hey, but this preacher wants to stay. He believes God. He believes God. Hope this is helping you get your mind to the Word today. Hey, friend, let me tell you, society has twisted the Scriptures. Society has twisted the thoughts and the minds of women and children and men. The society has twisted, and there's no common sense these days because they've gotten away from the believing in God. I think it's important for us to get back to just believing. Just believe in God. I believe that salvation is by grace through faith. Somebody go get me a drink of water right here, please. I believe that salvation, I'm going to throw it on somebody. I'm joking. Salvation is by grace. You never know what I'm going to do. Salvation is by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are ye saved. For by grace are ye saved. There's no other way but by his grace. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, thank God for his grace. Hallelujah. Oh, where would we be without the good grace of God? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift. It is the gift. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God. Hey, for the gift of Jesus Christ. Hey, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Hey, thank God for one man. Hey, sin was deputed and distributed and gone and abolished. Hey, one man, Jesus, thank God. Hey, took our sins upon himself and marched up Calvary's hill, and he bled and died. Hey, for the sins of the world, so that by grace you can be saved. I believe that salvation is by grace through faith. I believe in the new birth. New birth, John 3:3, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. That's what he said unto Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. I believe in the new birth. Somebody help me now. I believe in the new birth. I also believe in the evidence of salvation is a changed life. The evidence of salvation is a changed life. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, thank you, but by incorruptible seed, by the word of God, by the word of God, by the word of God. Born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hey, friend, hey, that's the word of God. You can bank your life, and please, sir, please, ma'am, believe the word of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I didn't make that up. That's not Baptist doctrine. That's Bible. That's Bible. If you are in Christ and he is in you, you are not a new creation like the new Bible says, but a creature. A creature that God breathed into, a breath of life. And man became a living soul. And when you got the second birth, you got the second breath. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that the Spirit, I'm born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, justified freely in Calvary's love. Oh, what a stain in his mind. Thank God for the second birth, born with life from above with the Spirit of God. Somebody go to church with me this morning. Y'all are acting like like Presbyterians or something. I'm just picking. You say, preacher, I don't like it when you say that. I can't believe you say that about other denominations. Well, I could say you're acting like a bunch of dead Baptists, and I'd be right. Amen. I believe that you ought to be excited. Amen. I believe you ought to be excited about your salvation. Amen. Amen. I believe in the blessed hope. You believe in the blessed hope? I still believe. What do you believe in? You say, well, I believe all these things. Can you get some scripture and believe them? Show somebody you believe them. Tell them the word of God is, it's not in your opinion. Well, I think that it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God's word says. Hey, just cut them off by the word of God. The blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope. Doesn't that do the word, Titus 2:13? Looking for that blessed hope. What are you looking for? Blessed hope and glorious what? Appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That just clears the fire. I love it, Ms. Joyce. It just clears it right out. It's a blessed hope. It's a glorious appearing. And it's who? A great God and Savior, and names him Jesus Christ. I don't know what you believe in, but I believe Jesus is coming back for me. Amen. I believe, thank God, the King James Bible is the Word of God. I believe that the Bible is written, and it's a written book of our final authority. I believe that in your lap, listen to me, I believe in your lap you have a final authority. It's not the church's statement of faith. It's not a no kind of religious organization. It's the Bible. The Bible is the final authority. And yes, I believe that you have a written final authority. It's not, hey, listen, church, the Bible doesn't pertain the words of God. The Bible is the words of God. It's clear, sir. It is. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got a book. The words of the Lord are pure words, as tried as silver in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, and thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever. Do you believe that this morning?
Yeah.
I believe in the word of God. 27 more points and I'll be through. Y'all looking worried. Hey, man, I believe in holiness. Why preach it? Because it's in the Bible. Paul said, I believe God, sirs. Sirs, it's about time. Everything's looking bad. Everything's looking upside down. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody has faith. Nobody has faith. Nobody has fact. Nobody has the answers. Sirs, hey, I believe God.
Yes.
That's where the church is in 2016, 17, whatever this is right now. I'm always behind. That's the purpose of the church right now. It's to stand and say, sirs, I believe God. Think about it, church. Oh, it's so powerful. Think about it, ma'am. Think about it, children. Do you believe God? Do you believe God when it comes to controversy? When someone is bringing up controversy? Do you believe God when you're in peer pressure? Do you believe God when you're outnumbered? Do you believe God in the middle of your storm? Do you believe God, friend? All I got to say is let out an anchor. Amen. Hey, we're nearing the shore. Let out an anchor. Wish for the day and make a proclamation and say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe in godliness. Holiness, godliness, the Bible says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. That means we are to be godly and not worldly. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. A holy, righteous, godly, soberly. Right now, this morning. Holy and godly. It's about time, hey, to get back to holy living. Get back to holy living and godly living. I'm feeling something about right now. And honesty and treating your neighbor and living right. Amen. And quit lying and deceiving. Hey, Christians are the most deceiving group of people I've ever seen in my life. Hey, they'll put a show in front of me. They'll live one way in front of me. And I see them living in front of somebody else, a whole different lifestyle. And what they don't realize evidently is that they're living all their life in front of a holy, righteous God. And one day, God will judge the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We are to live a holy, right life, honest above all men as we walk. Our brothers and sisters, wife, husbands, to be honest in everything that we do, to be holy, without spot, without blemish. I know we cannot be perfect, and one day we will be perfect, but you ought to strive to live a godly, separated life for His glory. I believe in being sober-minded. Hey, being serious and sober-minded about the condition of the church, about the condition of the home, about the condition of marriage in America, about the condition of this world, about the condition, hey, of our family's friend. I believe it's important to be sober-minded. Be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, seeking about like a roaring lion, seeking about whom he may devour. Be sober-minded. The devil's after your testimony. The devil's after your children. The devil wants to destroy your home. The devil wants this church to lock its doors and close up shop and go do something else. And he's working on it. Don't think he ain't. You better be sober-minded. I believe in being sober-minded. I believe in being separated. Separation. This is where people don't think about separation no more. There's a reason that God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17, "Therefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Look at not the unclean thing." Hey, don't live the unclean way. Somebody help me now. Holy, righteously, be separate, saith the preacher. No, saith the opinion, saith the denomination. No, saith the Lord. God said, separate yourself from the world and be holy. Separation is of God. Amen. Amen, preacher. Hey, I believe man ought to have short hair. You say, oh, here you go, preacher. I'm going to give you Bible verses, all right? I believe a man ought to have short hair and a woman ought to have long hair. This is, I'm talking about a difference in separation. There is a difference between a man and a woman. I believe. Somebody asked me the other day. I said, well, what do you do with if they don't know who they are? I said, they need to remember what they was born like. What you was born like, that's who you is. Amen. If you was born male, you a man. Whether you think so or not. If you born a woman, you're a woman. Whether you think somebody, that's pretty simple to me. I mean, the farm animals got it all figured out. If you're confused, go over to Miss Joyce's house. She got all kinds of chickens and roosters. And you can watch and see the difference. Amen. Yeah, man, that's what good farming's good for. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 14, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that it is a shame for a man to have long hair? If a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given for her a covering." Oh, that's the Bible. I didn't make it up. Don't throw rocks at me. The Bible says that a man should have short hair and a woman, if she wants glory, ought to have long hair. You say, I don't believe that, just physical thing. You can not believe whatever you want to believe, but the Bible says that long hair on women is for her glory. Some's got glory and some don't have glory. Amen. Amen, preacher. Amen. Hey, I believe a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought a woman. I don't want to go walking down the road with my long, wavy, blonde hair and have men whistling at me. Amen. Man ought to look like a man. And a woman like a woman. Do you believe that, church? Yeah. Do you practice that, church? Yeah, but you proclaim it, church. There's a difference between thinking about it and believing it on the quiet inside. Hey, but saying grandson or granddaughter, hey, or daughter or son, hey, the Bible says that you ought not, hey, wear that which pertaineth to a man, and you ought to have long hair, lady, and you ought to look like a lady, and son, you ought to look like a man. I believe that a boy ought to grow up and be a man. Amen, preacher. I believe that a woman, I know you believe that, but you're quiet about it this morning. I know a woman ought to grow up and be a lady. I said a lady. Everybody says a lady, lady. Did you hear me? A woman, a girl ought to grow up to be a lady, a respected lady. I believe the boys ought to open the doors up for them. I believe they ought to treat them right. I believe they ought to respect them right. Hey, I believe that the men, hey, ought to take care of the wives right. Hey, and quit letting the women run everything and do everything. I'm about to start preaching, and it's not even in my notes. Y'all pray for me. I believe that a man ought to be a man and ought to respect a lady, hey, for a lady, and don't abuse her as another man or a work partner. I believe God. I don't know what you believe, but it's in the book. I believe God. I believe God calls a man to preach. Yeah, man. I believe women ought to wear modest apparel. So the Bible's shamefacedness. Look in Titus chapter 2. Modest apparel. A woman ought to wear modest apparel. If it ain't for sale, don't advertise. Modest apparel. Ought to look like a woman. Without revealing yourself. Without revealing who, what you got. Amen, preacher. It ain't for sale. Don't advertise. I know you're not used to hearing this stuff in most Baptist churches. Hey, but friend, it don't matter. I'm not worried about that. I'm preaching what God told me to preach this morning. And I'm trying to do it with love and compassion. I want to help you. Hey, to forget about what others think. And forget about what others say. And go back to the Bible. And say, I believe the Bible. God help us. Stand on the Word of God. It'll never fail you. I believe that God calls a man to preach, not a woman. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Amen. A man, amen. I believe God calls a man to preach. Did I say that? Or did I just think that? I believe a man ought to be the head of the house. 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that a man is given the authority over the woman and the woman over the children and the gods over the man. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I believe it's the... Somebody help me now. Hey, the man ought to be the leader of the home. The spiritual leader of the home. Hey, most men, hey, they won't even do nothing for God or nothing for the Lord. Hey, but they let the women do everything. Women are more spiritual than men right now, this day and time. All over the universe. It's pitiful. Women are doing all the stuff. No wonder there's women preachers and women singers, and I'm not against women singing. The Bible says if a man desire the office of a bishop, it identifies to a male. It's a man. Everybody understand that? That's the Bible. It's not what I think, but that's what the Bible says. Hey, but you know why the women are running everything? Is because man has let them. Man has put them in a place, and they're out of place. The Bible says that the woman should be keeper at home. It don't even say of home. Read your Bible, Titus chapter 2. It says keeper at home. I know you may not like that. Hey, but friend, if you're shucking your responsibility, hey, because you're on a job or doing something else or running the roads, hey, friend, and you're not fulfilling the responsibility of a woman in a house, a woman in a home, and a woman with her children, and a woman with her husband, friend, the Bible says it's just a shame and you need to take care of your home. You know why a lot of women, hey, they're too busy bodies doing everything else besides keeping their own home. You know who's going to keep the home? It won't be the man. He don't know how to clean. He don't know how to cook. He don't know how to make it beautiful. But the woman is designed for that. Keepers at home. At home. Not at home. Oh. Amen. Hey, it used to be women didn't work at all. And I'm not saying it's a sin for women to work. I'm just saying the woman's a keeper of home. You got children, you got responsibility at home. At home, that's your responsibility. That house and that home is the woman's responsibility. The man is called the breadwinner. The man goes out to work, he brings it in, the woman cooks it, you know, and all that. The man, somebody help me, y'all. The man is responsible. Look, the Bible says in 1 Timothy. I don't have this scripture wrote down. I did have it. It didn't copy it. The Bible says that that if the man don't work, he's worse than an infidel. It's the man's responsibility to take care of the home. Amen. Everybody believe that? That's what the Bible says. I don't know what society's saying, but that's what the Bible says. Yeah, man. I believe that it's the parents' job to raise their children for the glory of God. For the glory of God, the parents' job to raise the children for God's glory. If you've got children this morning, it's your job to give them back to God, to train them in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Give them back to God. Amen? Y'all want to see that verse, don't you? 1 Timothy 5:8. Let's go to the Bible. 1 Timothy 5:8. I'm trying to be careful of time. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There you go. Amen. We got the saying, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's okay. It's the same thing. Amen. I believe that a man ought to work hard. Amen. Somebody help me. I got one woman saying amen, church. Where's everybody else? Men, where's the men saying amen, preacher? Amen. You see what I'm saying? Hey, we're not willing to proclaim it. Amen. Come on, men. Say amen, men. Amen. A woman not a word can supply for his own. A man ought to, man, not a woman. Amen. I'm not trying to get on you. I'm trying to help you. I believe this. I believe this. I believe in honesty. I believe in the old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-filled Christian church, the way. I believe the old-time way. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your soul. Ye shall find rest for your soul. That's the old ways. That's God's way. Somebody help me now. It ain't Christian's way. It ain't Baptist way or my own theology. It's God's way. I still believe in prayer. You say, preacher, you need to move on real quick here. All right. Everybody all right? I'm trying. Hey, what do you believe? What do you believe? I don't know what you believe. You say, well, I believe what I think, and I believe. You got a Bible verse? Amen. Woo! I believe in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I believe in prayer. Y'all believe in prayer? I believe that a Christian ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I believe a Christian ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. I said earlier this morning, and I've quoted it to my brother a few times this week in talking about the Holy Spirit. I've been doing a study on that. And the Bible, and D.L. Moody said this. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man who is filled with the Spirit of God. And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You want to be drunk with something? Get drunk in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Oh, men, where are you at, men? Hey! Filled with the Spirit of God. Not with your own pride, your own self. But the Spirit. Amen. We need some leaders. We need some Spirit-filled leaders. Amen. What about revival? I still believe in revival. I'm trying to hurry. I still believe in revival. I still believe in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Look it up. 2 Chronicles 7:14. 14. I still believe in the revival. I still believe in Psalms chapter number 85, verse number 6. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again so that thy people may rejoice in thee? I still believe in that scripture. I'm going to hold on to that scripture. God, help me till the day I die. Wilt thou not send revival again? I believe that Christians ought to be filled with the Spirit. I believe that churches ought to identify. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light, and it giveth light, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I still believe in the identity of the church. I still believe in singing, praising, and worshiping God. You believe in singing, praising, and worshiping God? Yes, I do. The Bible says, let the word of Christ, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. I love that. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your heart as unto the Lord. I still believe in singing and praising God. What do you believe in? I still believe in preaching. Everybody awake? Everybody okay? I still believe in preaching. Do you believe in preaching? Hey, the Bible says, hey, that if the gospel's going to get out, it's going to get out through the preaching of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17. The Bible says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, thank God, for it is written. For it is written, thank God, we got a written word. Hallelujah. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish things of this world and confounded the wise? For after that, the world by wisdom knew not God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1 through 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, exhort, rebuke, and reprove, exhort, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Amen. Yeah. We need some preaching. Yeah. Somebody help me. Yeah. If God's going to get it done, he's going to get it through preaching. You know, the condition of America is like it is because of the lack of preaching of God's word. That's what I believe. Lack of powerful preaching. Spirit-filled preaching. Everybody understand that? Everybody believe that? What do you believe? That's what the Bible says. I believe Jesus is coming soon. Let not your heart be troubled. I believe God. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I still believe in Jesus is coming soon. I don't know what you believe in, but I believe Jesus is coming back. I believe we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. I said, I believe we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Not by good works, not by pressing through, but by His blood, by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if he's overcome it, I'm on his side and I'm an overcomer too.
You believe you're overcomers?
Yeah, man. I believe God is able. Ephesians chapter 3, 19, verse 20. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able. I believe not only is he able, but I believe that all things are possible through Christ. I don't know what you believe, but I believe all things are possible through Christ. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, write that down. But Jesus beheld him and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I believe that you can be 100% sure of your salvation. 100% sure that if you was to die right now, you'd go to heaven. Right now. If you died when I snapped my fingers, I believe, I don't know what you believe, but I can tell you a Bible verse to prove to you what I believe. The Bible says and the Bible teaches that you can know these things. First John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that ye believe, that believe. These things have I written unto you that believe. Do you believe? He said, these things I've written unto you that believe, that ye may know. That ye have what? Eternal life. That ye may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you believe? Do you believe you can know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Some of you may not believe that in here. But the Bible says it. I just read it to you. Are you willing to proclaim what you believe to a rocky world? To an upside down world, let me tell you, you are the light, you are the salt, and you have the only truth. Hey, you may be the only Bible that people may read, friend. You may be the only Bible your coworker will ever hear. You may be the only witness that your friends and family will ever hear. And you know what they need to hear? They don't need to hear what you think about the bees and all the clouds and everything else. They don't need to hear what you think about different denominations. They don't want to hear, don't need to hear what you think about your own opinion. They need the truth from God's Word. They need to know what you believe, what I believe. You see, church, this was a constant problem with the disciples. They couldn't get things done because they lacked belief. Simple, very simple word, believe. Just believe. Sometimes they couldn't get certain things done. And Jesus would say, "O ye of little faith." He said he upbraideth them because of their unbelief. In other words, he scourged the disciples. I mean, what I did a while ago, I was just preaching the book. I was trying to get you to identify. Because some of y'all don't identify very well. I don't think. That's just my opinion. But Jesus scourged his disciples and scolded them because of their unbelief. He said, "You claim to be a Christian and a follower of me. You've seen me do all these miracles. And yet you still doubt and disbelief my very works and what I can do." They had a problem with unbelief, just like the church, the living God. Not just here, not just this local body, but the church at whole has a problem in believing God. And I believe that this is a great need for you today. It's just to go back. Go back to the Bible. Go back into simple believe God. Shut off what everybody else is hollering and screaming. Shut off the agony of the storms and pain. And focus on what you know God's Word says. Paul said, he stood and said, "Sirs, an angel of the Lord came to me this night, and whom I am and whom I served." He said, "Sirs, I believe God." Let's stand to our feet this morning. I know I went a little long, but I want you to think about this. Do you still believe? Do you still believe, church? Mom, daddy, grandma, grandpa, Christian friend, do you still proclaim you believe?
Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? Do you believe God? Do you believe tomorrow when the bottom falls out? And it could. People are laying, Christian friends are laying on their sick bed right now. And they're laying up and it's bright light. And it's not, it's the light of surgeons. And they're going underneath trauma in their physical body. We've got people in our church right now that are sick. Not just, I'm talking about heart stuff. I'm talking about major stuff. You know what we need? We just need to believe God. Just believe God, church. Believe right on through. Right on past. Throw you out of anchor this morning. And wish for the day and say, I believe God. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you bless this time of invitation as your people pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the confidence, proving yourself to us so many times. Help us to place our faith and our trust and our belief in you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There may be one this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're not 100% sure. If you was to die, you'd go to heaven. I believe that God is the God that created the universe, spoke the worlds into existence. I believe that He's able this morning to keep you into eternity. I believe in the security of the believer. Ephesians chapter 5 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. I believe in the security of the believer. Ever placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Been convicted of your sins and saw your need for a Savior and repented of your sins and turned to God 100%, gave your mind, soul, and body to God. Ask Him to take you as you are, to forgive you and to save you. That's how you're born again. And from that day forward, you become a child of God. You're born again, a new birth, placed in the hand of God and secured until the day that Jesus comes back for you. What about it, church? What about it, friend? Why don't you come?